It's time now to enter the Press Box with Clay Baker and Ed Graney on ESPN 1100 and 100.9 FM.
Right, let's go Las Vegas here on this Tuesday. No Clay Baker or Ed Graney today. Clay is on jury duty. Hopefully he'll be back with us soon, depending on how that goes. Ed, down at Baylor, moving kid into his new digs. So he'll be back next week. But for today, it's myself, Ryan Big Mac McKinnell, and across the way, co-host, sidekick, Steve Cofield. What's up, Steve?
Yes, I'm here for you, sidekick. Fire away. Anytime you need me to speak, I'll speak. Okay. This is your show.
Okay. Well, then just shut up. I'll take it from here. See you later. is the Cofield and Company Kangaroo Court cussing count in effect, or can I just let it rip during break?
Different show. Although different board op, so curse all you want. Hopefully the mics are off.
Oh my God, the possibilities. It's gonna be a very vulgar show. Speaking of being very vulgar, if you haven't seen my social media or here, listen yesterday. Coming up in about a half an hour. Not always vulgar, but definitely funny. One of the funniest men of a generation, Bill Burr, the original host of the 2004 racial draft. If you remember Chappelle's Show, first time old Bill came across my radar was back then, but he is coming across the Vegas radar this Saturday. He's stopping by the park at MGM, the Park Theater. He's going to be there at 9 o'clock, and he's coming on to talk about that and all things across the sports world. Big Boston fan, if you don't know about Bill Burr, so he'll be stopping by in about a half an hour. And in the 3 o'clock hour, we're going to have Marcus Pfaff from the Score up in Wisconsin, talking all things Green Bay Packers and a little whip around the NFL as we get you on out of here onto the sports line. And as I mentioned the sports line coming up at 2 o'clock, give a big thank you for the handoff from our buddy Tyler Bischoff of Technically Correct. If you missed any of that 10 to 11 show, had a really good chat with new D coordinator at UNLV, Tim Skipper. So make sure you're catching that, especially all things local. Puts on a good show there, Cofield, and old Tyler Bischoff.
It's not bad. I like Stephen A. Smith a lot.
Oh. Got to get that local flavor.
He's doing a good job.
Yes.
And he's writing for our website, too. So you can go to lvsportsnetwork.com. And Bischoff is up there. He wrote yesterday about the closed scrimmage on Saturday. And he's also all over the UNLV basketball recruiting.
Nice. Heard some potential good news coming down the pipe for UNLV basketball. Potential five-star recruit.
Yeah, they're in the mix.
Yeah. That's one of those, I believe that was a Tyler Bischoff article that I read. I believe he had an article on that. So, yeah, as Steve said, check out LV Sports Network for all Tyler's articles and the podcast of Technically Correct. As I mentioned, UNLV D coordinator Tim Skipper stopped by today. But for right now, let's get into it, Steve. You weren't around yesterday. At least you weren't around on this show. Talked about it a little bit. And that's the situation going on in Maryland and DJ Durkin. And I guess the fallout. I don't know what the right word is. We don't know. I mean, he's still with the team as of right now. Things aren't looking really great for him. I haven't got to hear your take on all this, really. I kind of know where I feel like you're centered around this whole issue, but I wanted to just get your general thoughts, and then I wanted to fire back at you, depending on what you say.
Well, we got to follow this, because I think there's 2 p. Eastern. Boy, my time's all screwed up. Very early in the day. 2 p. Eastern press conference.
It's very early.
At Maryland.
Yeah.
I think this is another college football in America culture story. Mm. I don't know if the Maryland coaches are at fault for this poor kid's death back in May. But the signs are troubling since, because they've circled the wagons. It sounds like a real hokey investigation is going on internally. There's certainly legal ramifications, because they're suing. The family of McNair is suing Maryland. I mean, is it believable that they overworked the kid to the point of death? It certainly sounds like they didn't handle the aftermath correctly. He started collapsing. He had a seizure, and medical personnel from outside the school weren't called until an hour after the incident. I mean, that's horrifying. But that's, sadly, it's not every football program. This is the old school football a lot of these guys want. Not to kill their players, but to work them. You know, don't be pansies. We're losing our edge.
Right.
And it sounds like Durkin has one of these psycho dudes on his staff, his weight coach. I mean, I think the big story, too, is this is, since 2011, this is the 22nd player with some sort of malady related to being overworked during practice. 22 players. So this isn't just a Maryland problem.
Yeah.
It's a Big Ten problem, and frankly, it's a college football culture problem. Not at every program, but they got to clean things up, man. These guys are Teflon, and sometimes they get out of control. And again, I don't want to jump ahead. We'll see what comes out of it. We'll see what happens today. But right now, Durkin's on admin leave. I'll tell you this. The investigation they're doing in-house sounds really weird because a couple of players, of course, anonymously said, and I say of course because if you put your name on it,
right,
then you're going to be tortured at the school.
Yeah.
But a couple of them said, hey, they're doing an investigation. The interviews are being held right next to Durkin's office, the head coach, and anyone can see you walking up. So it's not anonymous. It's supposed to be anonymous, and we're being forced to walk right by everyone and at that point get blacklisted. So how is that a real investigation?
It's not. It's not at all. Doesn't even feel that. And you talked about the culture, and you said it's not every team. That's what I have a hard time grasping is it really not every team? Because
I don't think it's every school.
Everything that I've come to know about the sport of football is you go two-a-days, the culture of two-a-days, in the middle of the summer, you go until you puke. You go until you're throwing up in a corner, and if you can't handle it, you're a wuss. You're just not a man. You're not cut out for football. That's the culture of football. Is it not?
It's the old culture. I'm not going to brand everyone the same way and say that there haven't been advancements made. I think people have changed their tune. But there are many others. We saw it at ACC Media Day. Larry Fedora, the North Carolina coach.
As far as basically the CTE conversation?
I don't believe there's proof on the CTE connected to football. Yeah. And more importantly, I'll paraphrase, we're becoming wimps with football. Football may go away, and that could contribute to the downfall of America. That's kind of the football coach's mentality. And, you know, the scary thing is these guys are the high paid ones, right? They're supposed to be next level. They're supposed to get it. They're supposed to kind of change with the times. Imagine what most high school coaches are like, right? They're still stuck in olden times.
Well, it's not just high school coaches, middle school coaches. It's the way I've always come to know football. Now, I didn't play in high school and I didn't play in college. I had friends who did. And I've had friends who still play pro ball. You say it's the old way of thinking. Where do you see any new ways of thinking? Now, I think CTE.
I don't know. I was at a close scrimmage on Saturday. I didn't see UNLV torturing the players. They weren't using a ball for part of the scrimmage.
Yeah.
You know, just running through plays. They did tackling drills. There's no tackling. And this isn't a criticism on Tony Sanchez and company. I think this is what's happening around the country. There's a lot of coaches resistant to it, but I didn't see them, you know, driving the players into the freaking ground.
Yeah, but you got to wonder. You knew media was in the building.
Nah, it's changing in different places. It just hasn't changed in a lot of others, and there are coaches like, I mean, I'm still appalled. I don't care if you're friends with him or not. When the South Carolina coach, Will Muschamp, came out, you know, and a day later is presenting this impassioned defense of Durkin. Dude, you don't know the facts.
Right.
And he said, I just talked to Durkin this morning. That's his side of the story. How about you wait until all the facts come out?
Because at the end of the day, someone's dead.
Coaches feel like they're threatened.
Right.
And I also believe in a lot of these states, maybe not so much at Maryland because it's in the D.C. market, so you have real media there. So I don't think the media there is afraid. They're also not covered, so no one cares. So he can't be a jackass to the media there because at some point they'll just be like, you're like the 17th beat that we cover. If you want to be a putz, you want to flex your muscle, we just won't cover you. But in a lot of these other markets, what do you think it's like for Will Muschamp with the Columbia, South Carolina media?
Mm.
You think anyone challenges him? What do you think they do in Birmingham and Tuscaloosa with Nick Saban? You know, what do you think they do in Lincoln, Nebraska now with Scott Frost? You know, name all these small towns. No one's ever pushing back. And then if there's whistleblowers at the school, either from the program, outside the program, in the community, people are afraid to step up. These guys are they run the school.
Yeah.
They're the mayor of their town. They're the governor of their state. So think about how insulated this whole thing is. And then all of a sudden, a guy like Muschamp's like, whoa, what's going on here? You know who I am? You know who Durkin is? We're college football coaches. Can't question us. So they get all uneasy.
And as we talk about, as we sit here in 2018, this tumultuous time of 2018, and fake news gets thrown around and media gets pigeonholed and lambasted, I think cases like this and Urban Meyer, which we're going to get to here in just a second, in a couple minutes, it really highlights, at least for me, the importance of media and the job media does. Because if they're not out there doing it, if they're not out there chasing these stories, and in Brett McHenry's case, posting stuff to Facebook, who is going to posting a story to Facebook? Brett McMurphy, excuse me, thank you.
You combine Brett McHenry and Brett McMurphy.
Yeah, like I said, 2018. But no, it really highlights the need for a fair and unbiased media and for allowing these people to be able to do their jobs. Because at the end of the day, and I don't think I'm being too hyperbolic or taking it too far, they're saving lives. Or at least, at the very least, they're trying to.
Well, if Durkin and company, again, we don't know what happened. So this could have been random. Maybe it wasn't due to the way they handled the dude. McNair, who passed away back in May. Saving lives, I guess, possibly could have happened if someone had blown the whistle. If they really are exhibiting, employing ridiculous practices at practice, maybe someone could have pulled the plug on that months and months ago. I don't know. We don't have all the facts, so I'm not going to jump the gun, but I think the overarching theme here is there needs to be some correction with a lot of college football coaches who feel like they're untouchable and are getting away with a lot and covering up a lot, and their players are getting away with a lot at their programs. And the Big Ten, frankly, you come from Big Ten country.
Yep.
What do you think of the Big Ten? Like, what do you think of the attitude of the Big Ten?
No, I think it's regional. I think you get a little bit of the same thing out west with the Pac, but they think they're the best. It's the same thing in the South with the SEC.
I think there's a different level attitude with the Big Ten. It's not just being the best. It's being above the fray.
And being the center of the college football universe.
It's being above the fray.
Yeah.
We do it the right way. We're classy.
Yeah.
We actually educate our kids. We're not like the SEC. We don't cut corners. Really?
Well,
can you name a school that hasn't had big issues?
No.
I'm probably missing on these, but I don't think, to my recollection, Northwestern or Purdue has had a big issue. But pretty much every other school has in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
Some kind of player misconduct or mistreatment of players or, you know, the worst of the worst.
Yeah.
Maybe keeping a serial abuser on your staff or enabling a pedophile and allowing him to rampage around campus for 27 years.
Well, as we sit here and on the subject of untouchable Big Ten coaches, we're going to pivot to Urban Meyer when we come back. News about Zach Smith not disclosing a prior DUI. What else has he not disclosed? And this is the timing of this message. Plenty more to get into with Ohio State, Urban Meyer, and more here on the Press Box. All right, back here on the Press Box on this Tuesday. No Clay, no Ed. Myself, Ryan McKinnell, joined across the way by the host of Cofield & Company, Steve Cofield.
Fill in. Why are you all thrown off today? Let's get down to brass tacks here.
Well, first,
there's something wrong. Ari, you're seeing it, right?
I'm part of it.
Okay.
First of all,
why are you all thrown off? Just do the show.
I don't get it.
You throw us off, Steve.
Sidekick Steve Cofield. That's throwing me off. And also, a Jets fan wearing a Steelers jersey is throwing me off. I don't know what that's about.
I dress for a purpose. I don't dress up, but I dress for a purpose. I saw, and of course it was on clearance, I saw a Steelers jersey, Le'Veon Bell. I support Le'Veon's fight for a real salary. And I think most Steelers fans hate Le'Veon Bell now, so I'm in. So I'm wearing a 26 jersey.
You are?
I'm trying not to look at myself in a mirror.
Really proud. Well, right.
Because it'll make me vomit.
Yeah.
My just general appearance and the shirt. Wearing a Steelers shirt is disgusting, but I know most Steelers fans right now are not happy with Le'Veon Bell, so let's do it.
I'm proud of you that you didn't go the Amazon route, that you actually picked up a shirt off the rack and bought it.
Well, I kind of know the prices of this stuff, so. But I will check. I'll check Amazon just to see what the prices are. I bought a big purchase yesterday. Big commitment, an extension cord. I double checked.
Well, that is big for you.
Oh, every purchase is
open up the
every purchase is just haggled over internally for at least a few minutes. I do not like to spend money.
Did you check Amazon on the Bell jersey to make sure that you were getting the best deal, or did you just snatch it up?
Come on, it was $12. There's no way it's cheaper than this. A licensed jersey.
Very cocky.
Come on now.
Amazon's got some great deals. All right, so I want to jump back to this Durkin thing real quick before we move on. We got Bill Burr coming up in about 5 minutes. You're not going to want to miss that. But no, Durkin, we were talking about the culture of football permeating from all the way from high school all the way up to the pros. You were talking about potentially changing. I'm less sure about the possibility of that happening. I look at CTE and the way that is changing. The rules are changing. They're trying to make it a safer game. So on some hand, it does give me hope. But this idea that they're going to change the run till you puke, sprint till you puke, balls to the wall culture of football, I'm less on board with that. I just don't see how you're going to take a violent game in nature, in practice, in play, just at the very fundamental, I guess, ethos of it all, right? It's a violent game. I just don't see a pathway to changing the way you practice in football.
There's a middle ground. You can employ the run till you puke thing. That's fine. But first sign of distress, get the kid some help.
Yeah.
And too often, coaches immediately go into puss, you know, screaming puss at the kid.
Yeah.
They go into that mode, which, again, I'm all about breaking people down. All about it. Seriously, tough love.
Can we get a drop on that? All right, thanks.
Why not? Right? People do need to toughen up. We have gotten wimpier.
Yeah.
Everything is sensitive. Everyone dances around issues. To get better, sometimes you need to get disciplined and yelled at. That's fine. But you don't need to go overboard. You don't need to be name-called all the time. And, you know, when a kid like this dude at Maryland is collapsing and then has a seizure and other players now are saying that, you know, the kid's wriggling on the ground, you got to be the adults in the situation and the professionals and get them help. You know, you can't go with the allegations around Mike Leach, people laughed at, but, you know, if you did do it, you know, putting a kid in a room, just a dark room, you know, you're going to learn your lesson by just sitting in solitary. It's just stupid. It also, how poorly does it reflect on coaches? These guys are they really worth $800,000, $1.5 million, $3 million, $7 million? They're not smart enough to change with the times and come up with new motivational techniques. All you have in your toolbox is screaming and cursing at people.
That's a really good point. And you talk about all you have in your toolbox and coaches being able to change. I think back to one of my favorite 30 for 30s, and that was the story on Bo Jackson. And I thought I had known, or thought I knew, a good majority of the story of Bo. One of the things that really struck me in that story and one of the things that took me by surprise was the fact that Bo Jackson, not only did he hate practice, he dipped out on it regularly. Like, he refused to practice in some instances. Is there a chance that, you know, the cussing, the running till you puke, all the things that we've come to know about the culture of football practicing and what's leading to the situation at Maryland, that it's only being done because it's just the easiest way to do it and no one's examined that, hey, maybe practicing and running until you're puking and the way they've done things isn't the way to go about things because one of the greatest athletes of all time in Bo Jackson didn't see the point in it.
Yes.
He felt better.
Yes, there's another way to do it.
Yeah.
And I don't know why you're not grasping. People are doing it. Not everyone is doing what Durkin allegedly did. Mm. Not everyone's abusing their players. Things are changing. It's just that some coaches are resistant. Most coaches are resistant. Things are changing. I don't know if you're seeing it, but they're changing.
Well, I'm definitely not seeing it. I mean, but where I'm not
seeing
it.
They're not tackling like they used to in practice at every level. They can't. It's a safety issue. It's also a legal issue now in the NFL. See, there's a flip side of it, too. The NFL can't win. So people are all over the NFL for contributing, you know, their game contributing to CTE in players. Then they start to put rules in the games to protect the players from each other, and then people get all pissed off.
Yeah.
You know, the helmet rule. People are going to be pissed about that all year long, all season long. They're trying. Nothing perfect. I don't like it. But I understand what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
I mean, first and foremost, I Do they care about the players?
Yeah.
I suppose. First and foremost, it's the legal side of things. But things are changing. See, you're doing the good coaches a disservice by saying, hey, they're all like Durkin. They're all like some of the allegations against Urban Meyer. They're all like the guy who was at Illinois, who was, you know, allegedly torturing his players. They're all like Kevin Wilson, who's now at Ohio State, funny, as an assistant, was at Indiana. They're all doing that. They're not all doing that.
Well, you just named off a pretty decent list of coaches.
There's 120-plus Division I programs.
Who's shown me? What have you seen? If they're doing it, maybe now would be the time to release some PSAs, some stuff to your website, how you're changing coaching, how you're on the forefront. Couldn't that be on some level also be reused as a recruiting tool? Yeah. That we aren't what you've come to know?
You can go to practices all over the country. You can see what they're doing, the differences.
Yeah. Well, maybe so.
You can watch video of beat writers in different markets. There are some coaches who are doing it the right way, are changing, are finding a balance. There are others who still torture their players and put them on death's doorstep. Again, I don't know what Durkin did here. I don't know what his strength coach did. I don't know what the rest of the staff did, but you know, it sounds pretty bad from the Maryland coach. And as we pointed out like 15 minutes ago, the investigation is hogwash too. I mean, if you're having kids walk in front of you to go to the the arbitrator, essentially, the arbitrary person who's doing the investigation, that's an intimidation tactic. That means you don't want to get to the truth.
The other scandal in college football that's going on right now, obviously Ohio State and Urban Meyer. The ruling is supposed to, the independent investigation is supposed to wrap up as late as Sunday, sometime this week. Obviously, with everything with Durkin coming down, do you think that's going to have any ramifications on the Meyer case? Like maybe Ohio State's feeling that a little bit of the shine is off of Urban and then maybe they can squash this a little bit easier than maybe before?
I think it's a distraction for a day or so, but yeah. Ohio State's still the big story.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about a dude making, what, $7.6 million. He's a top three coach in college football. It's one of the five most powerful programs in football. It also, I mean, a player death is very, 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 very serious. This one also involves a very serious hot button issue in domestic violence.
Yeah.
So they're not, Ohio State's not escaping. They get a little reprieve while they do their investigation, which, by the way, is also goofy if there really is a 14-day timeline.
Yeah.
You know, let's get to the bottom of this in 14 days.
Now we're going to get a little reprieve coming up next. We're going to step away from the meaty sports talk, and we're going to be joined by one of the greatest comedians going today. He's going to be out at the park at MGM this Saturday, 9 o'clock. The one and only Bill Burr joining the Press Box coming up next.
It's the Press Box on ESPN 1100 and 100.9 FM.
All right, welcome back to the Press Box, fans. Ryan McKinnell here, Steve Cofield across the way. Coming up this Saturday at the park at MGM, 9 o'clock, the one and only. What's that, Ari?
Go ahead.
Oh, okay.
We had a caller, it's not Bill.
Oh, okay. Good to know. Thank you for that. All right, coming up right now, 9 o'clock this Saturday, the park MGM. One of the greatest comedians of our generation. If you don't know him, God, I don't know what you've been doing with your life. The 2004 host of the Chappelle Show, Racial Draft. Something that I very much still wish was in effect. Just for the laughs, if nothing else. I don't know what we'd become in 2018. Bill Burr. Bill, how you doing, man? Thanks for stopping by. Oh, okay. Finding out from Ari. He's not on yet. Well, thank you for that, Ari. Appreciate
that's
that.
That's what I was saying. We had another caller.
Oh, so. Okay.
We'll be right on.
Oh, sticks with the chaos of all things 2018. I appreciate it. Makes me feel warm and fuzzy inside. All right, no Bill Burr, Steve, not yet. Yeah.
I was watching that play out.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Kind of had a feeling.
Yeah.
Ari, good communication.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel real good about that.
Just pop on and say he's not there.
He gets kind of flustered. Yeah.
You
know how Steve like
he does a giant intro. Just let him do it. You don't say anything.
I asked you what is going on, and you're like, oh, nothing. Just got another caller. Continue.
You know I'm introing Bill Burr. Correct.
And you're like, hey, Steve, you always ask me like, hey, what'd you think after the show? Do you have any critiques? I'm usually a generally positive guy, and I have nothing to say. I promise you, after today, I'm going to have plenty to say. Way to go, Ari. Way to go.
Here's what I have to say. You get a little flustered in the breaks and stuff, so you don't like the hand gestures and whatnot. So I figured shaking my head no, and then writing on the board, he's not on yet, would have cleared that.
Okay. All right.
Since we brought this on the radio.
So. Okay.
All right, moving forward.
All right, well, we'll be joined by Bo Burke.
Are we moving forward?
Soon.
All right.
Yes, let's.
All right, dictating where the show is going.
Yeah, right.
I got to get Bill on the phone. 15 more minutes about you not advance calling Bill Barr and making sure that he's ready to go, then he can flip out. How about that?
Excuse me for a moment.
Yes. Why not? You're done flipping out.
Well, mostly. Until it circles back around and I realize what just happened.
By the way, what is the racial draft?
Racial draft, 2004. You don't remember that? It was, okay. So I'm hoping a majority of our listeners at least are aware of the Chappelle Show. If you haven't seen it, I hope that you're at least aware of what it was. It was a sketched comedy show in the early 2000s, 2003, 2004. But the racial draft was one of the better skits of the Chappelle Show, and Bill Burr was the host. He was sitting behind the desk. It was kind of like a ESPN The Ocho sort of setup, like which they ran this weekend. If you missed anything, it was pretty great. But
by the way, was it great? I didn't tune in.
Yeah.
ESPN was making a big deal of it.
Yeah, it was absurd.
A lot of weird sports.
Yeah, which I love. I'm a fan of the weird sports. So, yes, it was absurd. No racial draft, though, unfortunately. But, yeah, that's what they had. It was team white, it was team black, and it was team Asian. And he had delegations from each race, and they were picking people to come over to their side. First pick, the black selected Tiger Woods. Because he's also Asian. I guess you could also make the argument that he was sort of white. So,
is he sort of white?
Well, at least in his delivery. That's what Chappelle made fun of. Came up for shizzle. For shizzle. Don't remember that?
That's why I asked. I don't remember. No.
Oh, okay.
2004. I do not remember.
Okay.
I like Chappelle Show, but I was not a devotee of the Chappelle Show.
Okay. Well, you were busy. I was in college.
I don't know if I was busy. I just didn't watch it.
Oh, okay. That was a great lineup, man. 2004, it was Chappelle Show. Or actually, it started with South Park. Then it ran into Chappelle Show and Reno 911. So it was appointment viewing for all of us. Bill Burr was a big part of that. So hopefully he'll call in. We'll get to chat with him. If not, we will roll along. Do not worry. We are very well organized here and focused.
What's your breaking news on the Knights? Sort of breaking news from yesterday. Golden Knights and their schedule. NBC.
That's right.
How many more clues do I have to give you?
I know where you're going. No, that's a big deal. Going from, I don't know how many games the Knights had last year, but I know it wasn't a lot. If we're talking NBCSN, you know, national games, the Knights were, at least until the playoffs started, were pretty well shut out. This year, Steve, 9 games. 9 games for the Knights this season. So
on what? NBC in general?
Yep, NBCSN and NBC. Primetime. Primetime.
And how many of those? NBC, their big hockey night is what night? Wednesdays?
Yeah, I believe so. Well, they have the rivalry night, which I think starts later in the season. I want to say they do Saturdays. But yeah, I think, yeah, Wednesday, Saturdays they do, yeah. But nine games this year, 2018-2019 season.
They have they're on the second slate because the opener is on, I think it's 10-3 and then 10-10. A lot of doubleheaders on Wednesdays.
Right.
And most, from looking at the schedule, most are Wednesday in Vegas.
Okay. Well, it opens with October 4th versus Philly. Goes all the way through Washington, Nashville, Anaheim, Chicago, Nashville, Boston, Edmonton, and ends in March 27th with Colorado. So a full slate, 9 games. The Knights. But for right now, we're talking about it just a little bit ago. Thank God he's here. The 2004 host of the Chappelle Show Racial Draft. He's done a few things since then. He's going to be at the park at Monte Carlo. Not Monte Carlo anymore. The Park Theater at Park MGM this Saturday, 9 o'clock. The one and only Bill Burr. Bill, thanks for giving us a few minutes. How you doing?
What's going on? The Monte Carlo's not the Monte Carlo anymore?
No. They switched it over. MGM made it. It's called the Park now. So they did a bit of a remodel, put some new things in. Yeah, you're coming to still the same Monte Carlo, but with some upgrades. So, yeah, glad I could break that news for you. Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm glad you told me that because I'd be like driving around the strip going, where the hell's the Monte Carlo?
Telling people to
it
come.
It was right there.
Telling people to come get their comps at the Monte Carlo. Might confuse a few people.
Yes, sir.
Well, so I'm trying to think of the last time you were in Vegas. I don't think I don't think, maybe you can correct me, I don't think we had a hockey team yet. And you, being from, for those that don't know, Bill, huge.
No, you did.
Okay.
You did.
We did.
Yeah, you don't want to know the last time I was there, something really bad happened the next day. You know what I mean?
Was that?
The big shooting there.
Oh, okay.
That
so
happened. I was there the day before that, so I didn't want to bring that up. But, yeah, that's what happened the next day.
Okay, all right. So, yeah, no, I was actually, I went to a preseason.
And with that sunshine event, I got a comedy show at the former Monte Carlo.
Yeah, well, no easy way to segue into that. So, but no, you're a big Boston fan, right? You're a big Bruins fan. I'm assuming you paid attention, at least on some level, to what the Knights did this year. Were you for it?
No, I was actually going to go to the game when the Bruins came to town. You guys played them in October of last year, but I ended up booking an acting gig, so I couldn't go. So, but yeah, I definitely paid attention. I love how your coach told all the players at the beginning of the year, saying you guys are all in this locker room for one reason. Nobody on the, you know, these other teams thought you were worthy of being protected.
Right.
And I just felt like, I mean, that just sounds like the beginning of a great Hollywood movie. And they all just solidified. And the finals was tough for me because I loved the Vegas story. But I also had a buddy of mine who was a long-suffering Capitals fan. So I knew secretly I was going to be happy either way. But I also, you know, seeing Ovechkin finally win one was, and how much he cared, because, you know, there's a stereotype out there that the Russian players, the Stanley Cup doesn't mean anything, mm-hmm. and they just come over here and get the money and go back, like that guy from the Devils did.
Kovalchuk?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... it was incredible. But I'm actually really excited for the NHL because after so many times making missteps or being ahead of the game where they had the graphics on the screen and everybody made fun of them, you know, was going behind the puck. And now you look at the NFL, it's like magic marker all over the screen. Baseball has the strike zone, all of that stuff. I mean, the NHL did that first. They were just ahead of their time and they got skewered for it. But and then watching them put, you know, teams in cities that they probably shouldn't have gone to watch them strike gold in Nashville and now in Vegas. And I think Seattle, they're going to go 3-for-3. I think that's going to be a rabid fan base up there. And I think the NHL is on a big upswing.
You know, I completely agree, Bill. And you look at Seattle, I think, you know, one of those things that Vegas got, I think, lambasted through and dragged through the mud, especially as they continued to win and, you know, away fans got more jealous. Was, oh, they were gifted a Stanley Cup team. They were gifted a playoff team. You know, they had favorable rules. Okay, we'll see. Let's see how Seattle does. I have a hard time believing that Seattle's going to be able to replicate in any way, shape, or form what Las Vegas did this season.
I mean, it was pretty. It was, well, now, when does Seattle come out? Next year or 2020?
2020, I believe.
Yeah, 2020. Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, I don't know. They're going to. The odds that they're going to draft or get a same group of people like that are going to come together is pretty that is pretty slim. But I think their fan base alone will probably get them an extra 10 wins a year. I mean, those people are nuts up there, so nuts in a good way. So we'll see.
Here with Bill Burr. He's going to be out at the Park Theater at Park MGM this Saturday at 9 o'clock. Also the host of the Monday Morning Podcast. And you got your renewed for the third season of F is for Family on Netflix. Congrats on that. That's pretty good news, right? Netflix, it kind of feels like they're changing the game.
You're going to go out on a limb there? Say that they're in every country except China?
Hot take.
Yeah, I think they're kind of changing the game. Call me crazy. When you wire the globe, you might have an inside track. they're definitely changing the game, and they were nice enough to give us another season, and that's going to be coming out sometime, possibly late November, early December. They haven't given us a date yet, so... We shall see. We'll see what happens. But I think this is going to be our best season.
Is that a hot take? Is you just putting it out there in the universe?
No, I've just been in the edit bay, and I'm like, this is the funniest we've been. So hopefully
That's
people
awesome.
Will think that.
That's awesome.
I don't think I've been funny yet in this interview. I've just been giving you information.
What's
for all your people out there, Nashville has a team, Vegas has a team, and Seattle has a team. Please come see me at the comedy show.
Well, it is live, but you said you weren't funny up until now. Now it's funny, so there you go.
There you go. Yeah. It's unreal that I curse even when I'm trying, not even trying to.
Team, Vegas is also getting a football team in 2020. The Las
That is going to be a juggernaut. Even if the Raiders suck, which they're not going, even if they suck, every mouth-breathing moron like me, anytime their team is playing in Vegas, you're going to go. Cleveland Browns fans will go to Vegas to watch their team get their butts kicked by the Raiders just to go to Vegas. That's going to be the destination of every unhappily married man, any functional alcoholic. They're going to sell so many tickets, it's going to be insane, and it is inevitable that a baseball and a basketball team are going to go there. I don't know how those teams are going to do, but I feel that and plus the Raiders were in Oakland, then they were in L.A., back to Oakland, now they're going to Vegas. If you draw that on a map, that's a triangle of psycho Raider fans that are all going to form there in Vegas. It's going to be crazy.
Well, you think about you mentioned the fans that we already have, right? You mentioned the culture of Vegas. It's going to be this open-air tailgate. It's going to be close to the Strip. And Bill, I don't know if you heard, we have legal weed now, so you can throw that into the party as well.
Well, you're probably going to need that. You'll probably stop, you know... Raider fans, because I don't think they're going to appreciate the amount of opposing jerseys that they're going to see. Which, by the way, I don't understand why anybody does that. Why you wear the opposing team's jersey, you know, in a stadium of tens of thousands of people? Like, what do you think is going to happen?
Well, nothing good. It happened a lot with the Knights.
Nothing good, especially on the West Coast. Everybody talks about how Philly fans are crazy, blah blah. The West Coast is a whole other level. You'll lose your life.
No, that happened a lot.
Bill Burr at the comedy club.
No, that actually happened a lot, Bill, with the Knights, because you had obviously just straight up hockey fans that wanted to come in. They didn't have an allegiance to the Vegas team. Now, it started to change over the season, but I feel like people got the message pretty early on that that wasn't going to be tolerated, even in a new squad like Vegas. I can't imagine what it's going to be like for the Raiders. Because people are going to be trying to do that.
If I went to the Bruins Knights game, I would have walked in plain clothes. And I would have respectfully cheered on for the Bruins because I like them and I also respect my own mortality. People who go in there wearing other jerseys and stand up and applaud, it's just like you're being an a-hole and you're asking for it. In a perfect world, you could do that, but it is not a perfect world.
Bill, who do you think has the worst fans in the country? What city?
It's not a city. It's a state. California. California, they're animals. somebody got shot at a preseason Raiders 49ers game.
Yeah.
Shot at a preseason game. And I think that's why Philly gets so much crap, because their stories are funny. Oh, they threw stuff at Santa Claus.
Right.
They dumped a beer in a guy's head. Like, people die. You know? Remember that dad who wore the Giants jerseys with his kids? They stomped on his head till he had brain damage and then he died? I mean, yeah, I would say, yeah, California. Easily. I would say when you kill somebody, I would say at that point you get the title as worst fans. I mean, you know, you'll get heckled in other places. They'll throw a beer at you, but you don't die. You don't walk out with brain damage. And it's something that, you know, the leagues really try to ignore because it is ugly, but it's something that happens.
Yeah, you know, Bill, speaks. nice cackle there. Nice cackle there at the end. You're right. For sure.
The first time I went, I actually wore a Red Sox hat to an Angels game. I thought I was going to get stabbed because the Red Sox started coming back, and I was actually at one point praying they were going to lose to tone down these people's anger. I think I left early. I mean, they're animals. Not all of them. There's just enough of them.
See, I'm glad you broke the mold there, because the Northeast markets get the bad rap. Philly, like you said, New York, and Boston.
We're the best at talking trash.
Yeah. Well,
we're the best at talking trash, but like, if honestly, if you're thinking about, you know, a final solution and you just don't have the courage to do it to yourself, wear an opposing jersey at a game in California.
2018.
Sit in the upper deck.
Sure.
Sit in the upper deck. That's right. And you will have your assisted suicide.
Sure. Get your ass kicked and thrown over the
that's
edge.
Right.
What'd you on the subject of Northeast fans? What'd you think of the reaction? I'm sure you saw this on WEI, the radio host who called Tom Brady's little girl a pissant.
Oh, that was a while ago. I don't know. That just seemed like somebody was trying to get ratings, and then they went too far. You know, because you know that guy, if he ever actually saw Tom Brady, he'd probably faint. You know what I mean? Like, oh, my God, he's so beautiful. But you get on the radio, you know, maybe the station manager is giving you a rough time. The numbers are down, and you feel like you got to say something crazy. Because what sort of an adult does that? Who goes after somebody's kid?
I do.
All of us.
I'm a child. That's a, we discuss what's off limits. Like how young you're going to go after a kid for being annoying. What's the limit?
Why would you do that? I would say that, yeah, I don't know.
Because I'm a mean bastard and I don't have kids and I don't like kids. So that's...
Well, that's all right. There's nothing wrong with that. Doesn't mean you have to attack them on the radio. But you can. It's your show. Good luck to you.
I know, right? It's working out well. I'm in the big time in Vegas, right?
Did you support that guy doing that?
Do I support Alex Reimer of WEI doing that? Yeah, I don't have a problem with it. Yeah. I'm not a big language violation guy, so if I start setting rules for everyone else, then obviously it's going to come back on me.
No, I'm not saying you should get fired over it.
Yeah.
I just said, you know, it wasn't something I was going to do. But I would say if he got fired over that, then he wasn't bringing them in enough money. Because if he was bringing them in enough money, they would have done some sort of BS suspension. You know, hey, take a couple of days, we'll let it cool off. Let somebody else say something dumb on the morning zoo, and then, you know, we'll bring you back. You know, and that'll be it. But, well, you know.
Brady's happy again. He went back on the station. So he boycotted him for a little bit, and now he's back. So it's all good.
As he should have.
Hey, they're your kids. If you want to push back.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I understand. You know, I actually appreciate the fact that you don't like kids and you don't want to have any. The world's overpopulated. Thank God you didn't give in to the pressure that some people do, because then they have them and they don't really want them, and then they don't raise them, and then they go to school with your kid.
Yep.
And then you got to deal with this, like, whatever the hell that is. Sort of wolf kid.
Speaking of kids, man, you just had a new kid. I mean, relatively new. You got a new wife. You got a new kid. I'm kind of curious.
I got it used. I'm leasing a kid.
He's going back. It's a 3-year deal,
right?
Yeah.
So I'm kind of curious.
An unrestricted free agent. We picked her up to help us after the All-Star break.
So how's that been working out? How's that late edition pickup work out for you?
It's one of the few things in life that has lived up to the hype.
Good, man.
It is as awesome as everybody says. I love it. I love being at that.
So how does your trips to Vegas change now that you've got a kid? I mean, you're coming here, you're doing stand-up, I would imagine. I mean,
No more hookers and blow, dude.
Or are you just more discreet about it?
I was never that guy.
Yeah.
I was never that guy. I never was a prostitute, eight ball. Hey, man, this stays with us. All right, guys?
Sure, we'll never mention it. Yeah, yeah.
No, I'm not saying that to you. I'm talking like that's what you say to your guys when you go to leave Vegas.
Right.
I never did that stuff.
So you never had like a one crazy night in Vegas that just, you know, wrecked you for a year?
I never went to Vegas unless I was working there.
Oh, okay.
So I would work, and then afterwards I would go out with the other comic, and we would drink beers at O'Shea's. And we would talk comedy. That's what I would do. Like, I never did the whole, you know, there's the seedy underbelly if you want to visit it. Yeah. I was just more disappointed I couldn't get a steak for like $3 like they said for so long, you know?
Yeah, those days are over.
Oh, yeah, they've been over. I missed it when I came out there in the late 90s and the dealers were like, you missed it. It's over.
All right, so before we get on out of here, big Boston fan. We know this about you, Bill. Obviously, Your Red Sox, we could talk about them in the future. They're obviously leading Major League Baseball and doing incredible things. They look to be in a good spot. Obviously, the Patriots, the dynasty that they are. I remember a time when Boston was terrible. I'm sure you remember a time when Boston was terrible.
I lived it.
Right?
I
guess my question to you now is like, do you even care? I mean, you've won so many championships. Wasn't it more fun being the tortured soul, chasing the rings rather than having them all?
That was probably one of the dumbest questions anybody's ever asked me.
That's what I specialize in.
Didn't you enjoy, like, almost drowning in the ocean more so than when the Coast Guard picked you up and gave you that warm blanket? Wasn't it more exciting if the sharks were circling you? I mean, I don't even know how to even answer that. I will tell you, everybody's freaking out about the Red Sox, but, like, you know, I regular season stats are so overrated. They're so overrated because you beat on a bunch of teams that you're not going to see in October. You know what I mean? It's like, you see these quarters. He threw for 500 yards in November. Yeah, against a team that's not going to be playing in January. So you can really inflate your stats. I know we swept the Yankees, but who cares, because there's the wild card, because the MLB can't make enough money, so there's 90 rounds of the playoffs now. So now sweeping the Yankees in August doesn't mean anything. You're not putting them out of their misery. They're going to be 0-0. We're going to be 0-0. You know, we got our 1-2 are good, but our number 3 pitcher is erratic. And I don't know. Last I looked, Houston was the defending champions. And Terry Francona is the best manager, as far as working with what he has, the best manager in baseball. So we shall see. But I'm not going to be one of these people that's like, you know, they won 120 games. What happened in October? You know, we just, you know, we're racking up stats against the Orioles.
Well, I'm a White Sox fan, so you're welcome for Chris Sale. I'm still sore about that.
Oh, I thought we got him from Toronto.
No. No, might as well have been Toronto.
Oh. The White Sox. Oh, yeah.
I don't have any.
Same thing.
Yeah, but Chicago's like, you know, if they don't win, then the Cubs wins, and then everybody's happy. You got two teams. You're like rich kids out there.
Well, you're not wrong. At least one of them is. All right, Bill, Saturday night, 9 p.m., The park
you got
MGM.
All salty about that Chris Sale.
We appreciate
it,
man.
You got money, man? You guys are huge. Your city's huge.
Yeah, well, I guess it was building for the future. You shipped over Moncada. We shipped you Sale. One of those has worked out. One of them we're kind of waiting on.
Oh, all right. Well, you know, there's always tomorrow. No, okay. Sun will come out tomorrow. Rebuild Comiskey. Inside Lamar Hoyt.
I now feel
and
better.
Carlton Fisk. Hey, we gave you Carlton Fisk a long time ago, all right? So there you go.
It's true.
You finally paid us back.
That is true.
All right, thank you for helping me promote my show.
Thanks, Bill.
I will talk to you later. See you.
See you later. That's Bill Burr, Saturday, the park. Park MGM, 9 o'clock. Don't miss it. You can reach him out on Twitter if you don't know. I don't know why you wouldn't. At Bill Burr, host of the Monday Morning Podcast and F is for Family, Season 2, airing right now on Netflix. That was Bill Burr. If you missed any part of that, be sure to catch it on LVSportsNetwork.com after the show. Coming up next, the Nooner.